on today's episode of the Real Foodology podcast.
Let's bring out into the open the fact that there's a way in which you can live healthier and happier right now.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Foodology podcast. Today's episode was a really fun one for me to record. I had Luke Cook on, and he's not my normal guest that I have on. I'm trying to bring just a wide array of guests on, and I have been following him for a while on Instagram. You may know him from his hilarious videos on Instagram. I really enjoy his account. His account is probably one of my favorite ones to follow. Now, having met him in person, I know he's just a really great guy, and it really comes through in his account as well. And he just brings so much fun to the world, you know, to this corner of Instagram. His skits are just absolutely hilarious, and I'm so grateful that I got to sit down with him and chat. It was a great conversation. We talked a lot about like biohacking modalities, all the different health stuff that he does, what his diet looks like, his thoughts about protein as a fitness trainer, because he's also a fitness instructor as well. And he knows a lot about health. You guys will learn a little bit about me because he was also asking me questions, which was really fun because that never happens to me when I'm interviewing. So it was just a lot of fun, and we had just a really great conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Make sure you go follow him on Instagram. He is the best on Instagram. He's so much fun. And I think you guys would enjoy his content a lot. So yeah, as always, if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast, it would mean so much to me. Really appreciate your support. I love you guys so much. If you're like me, you know the importance of eating healthy, but you don't always have the time or the willpower to cook with all the colors of the rainbow. And your body is an amazing organic machine. It turns food into energy, it heals wounds, supports your consciousness, and so much more. But it needs the right fuel and signals to function at its best. Some of those signals include adaptogens. These are compounds that balance hormones and help you deal with stress in a healthier way. If you're feeling tired, these compounds give you a boost of energy. If you're stressed, they help you return to a natural state of calm. They literally help you adapt to the stress of life. My favorite source of adaptogens is Organifi. They create these delicious superfood blends that mix easily with water. They make it so easy for me to get more adaptogens in my day, like ashwagandha, reishi, mushroom, rhodiola, and so much more. If you're looking for an easy way to support your amazing body, I highly recommend trying Organifi. To try Organifi today and save 20%, go to Organifi.com/realfoodology and use code realfoodology. Again, that's Organifi.com. It's Organifi.com and use code realfoodology. I have always been a night owl for as long as I can remember. And these last few years, I really actively worked on going to bed earlier and ultimately waking up earlier in the morning so that I can become more of an early morning person. And it has truly changed my life and changed my productivity and the way that I work. Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. This is why I love Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. It benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I've been talking about this a lot recently, but I went on a vacation not too long ago. I forgot to bring my Seed with me, and I was able to see a stark difference in those days that I was not taking it versus when I take it, most specifically in my digestion and going to the bathroom every morning. Speaking of traveling, I love the DS01 from Seed because you don't need refrigeration, and it also comes with this really cool little travel vial. So you can travel with it and hopefully you don't forget it like I did on vacation. And not all probiotics are created equally. Seed actually has a patented capsule-in-capsule design that you can see. If you ever open one of the capsules, you'll actually see another tiny little capsule in there. And this technology helps the fragile bacteria to survive the journey, not only from shipping to your door, but also through your body and into your gut. They also don't have fillers or synthetic ingredients or chemical coatings. And the DS01 is backed by a lot of science. With new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make the DS01 a product that you know you can trust. I love Seed's delivery system too. So when you first buy it, you get this really cool glass green jar, and you actually hold on to that. And then every month on a subscription, you just get your refills sent to you in a compostable package. You refill it in the jar, and then you can compost the package. So it's really eco-friendly as well. And it also comes with this cool little green travel vial. Seed is also rigorously tested for 14 classes of allergens. It's glyphosate and corn free. There's no binders, there's no preservatives, and it's Prop 65 compliant, all of which we love. So if you want to try Seed today, go to seed.com/realfoodology and use code 25realfoodology to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/realfoodology, code 25realfoodology.
You know why that they call you an elitist too? It's because you look the way you do and you dress the way you do, and people are like, well, she already makes me feel bad about myself because I don't dress as good, or my hair isn't as nice, or I'm not as thin. And then you're going to tell me that I'm eating wrong and I'm feeding my family wrong. And so it's an automatic, I'm on my back foot. I'm on the defensive. That's like part of the problem and the difficulty of what you do. It's actually really hard. And I find that health in general, I really didn't want to post much about health in a negative way ever, because the pushback I just found so, as a sensitive person, I didn't enjoy it. I was like, if I posted somebody who was talking about, oh, don't do this because this can affect you negatively here, people would be like, that's bullshit. This is fear mongering. And I was like, actually, I don't want to actually do that. I'd like to post about just positive things. So instead of saying, don't eat this, I would rather say, eat this. But you say, don't eat this.
Oh, I go hard in the paint. But there's a reason why, because what's happening right now to the American public is evil. It truly is evil. Mm-hmm. Because now there's a coordinated effort to keep people sick, because we have a medical system that's set up to profit off of people being sick. And then we have a food industry that's peddling all of this hyper-processed foods, making it really cheap mm-hmm. because it's subsidized by our government. It's this whole really evil system that's happening right now. Yep. And I can't sit idly by and just be complicit with this, especially when I know that this is happening.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I hate that I'm taking all the punches. And, you know, to what you just said, to your point, I identify as a super highly sensitive person as well. But I just hit a point where I was like, I can't shut up about this anymore. And I will take the personal attacks, because I know that this is wrong, what's happening. And I see it as an injustice and I want to fix it.
Yeah, I salute you, because you really do. I mean, I just saw a couple of weeks ago or months ago, some guy just coming after you.
Oh, yeah. He put a wig
really
on and
all. Irritating. He's really irritating.
He's also filming in what looks like his parents' basement.
Right.
He looks like a hoarder.
It's an incel, an incel thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being involuntarily celibate, by the way. You know, they're humans too, and we should speak to them. But he just seems he really irritated me.
Yeah.
He obviously really irritated you. It's not nice when people come after you like that. But it's this what is it? It's the soft bigotry of low expectations is what it is. Mm. So it's like, well, you know, people don't have as much money as you, so they can only afford shit food. And so you shouldn't talk down about their food. And it's like, actually, they can't afford apples.
Yeah.
They can't afford potatoes, really.
You can't afford rice and beans.
Yeah, people don't understand. Like, it's like your presumption about what people can afford and what they can't afford is the offensive thing. Mm-hmm. You know, furthermore, did you see what it costs to go and get like a Big Mac and a milkshake now? It's like $17.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
I did a segment on my podcast for a while with my producer. We called it Organic for Everyone. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we would go to really popular fast food places and we would buy the like most popular item on the menu. So, for example, we did the cheesy gordita crunch. Mm. And we priced it out, and then we went to the grocery store. We went to super accessible, affordable grocery stores like a Ralph's or a Vons. We weren't like going to Erewhon. We bought every single ingredient organic to remake that at home. And every single time we did McDonald's, we did, I'm blanking on all the places we did, but we did a bunch of different places every single time. It was cheaper for us to buy all those ingredients organic and make it at home than it was to go through the drive-thru.
Yes. One of the most effective little messaging mediums I'm seeing recently, people are creating content and showing, if you eat this croissant and this Snickers bar, that's as many calories as three bowls of apples. And you just like, and you stand back and you go, oh my gracious, like really? And it's so effective seeing it. And like two giant bowls of Jell-O is like a Big Mac. And you go, wow, this is insane. We really are like being over-caloried. I think I underestimated how many calories are in those ultra-processed junk foods.
Yeah. And that's a big problem. And then too, you think about all the fillers and everything that's in that food, it's overriding our own hunger cues. And so then we're actually eating more as a result, because these are empty calories and they're not signaling certain hormones in our body to tell us when we've had enough.
Yeah.
It's similarly, you know, you hear this all the time that nobody's binging on salmon, but you open a bag of Doritos or you think about Pringles, it's literally in their slogan, once you pop, you can't stop. That's like where our biology is being overridden right now. Like, you don't have a problem with will. It's these foods are being created to be eaten and binged.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great question for you, because I was thinking about this recently.
Yeah.
How do you measure like something that's satiating versus not satiating? I'm aware that as a macronutrient, protein is the most satiating of all the macronutrients, but baked potato, that'll fill you up fairly well. It's fairly satiating, but how do you measure it? How do we know what's satiating and what's not?
That's a good question. So it's so fat is really satiating, and so is protein if you eat enough protein, and fiber as well.
Right.
So if you have a good mix of all of them, that's what's really going to be that like bliss point, if you will, of that perfect satiety. But you can also do it. I mean, look at keto. It's so satiating because you eat really high fat. And we just know that fat in general, it's more about just knowing what foods to eat that are going to satisfy you. We know that hyper-processed foods are designed to be overeaten, and they have flavor scientists that create these foods to be overeaten because they want to make more money. And so it's more about dropping the packaged foods and buying and eating whole real foods, and knowing, like, for example, an apple is going to be really satiating. Especially my favorite thing is adding either protein or fat with your carbs. A lot of people have probably heard, don't eat your carbs naked. That means pair it with a good high protein or a good high fat. So if you want to eat an apple that's pretty carbohydrate rich in the fiber, and that will keep you full, but what's really going to keep you full and satisfied for longer and going to make it stretch out longer is adding something like almond butter that will give you that fat in there as well to keep you full and satisfied for longer.
Yeah, that's clever. It's kind of like elongating. The way I think about fat is that it slows digestion down. So then it slows the glucose spike down and probably satiates you more in doing so. It's kind of like the way that beef works. I guess so. Like, you can eat 100 grams of protein from beef, and I've only just recently learned this science or seen this scientific study. Did you see this where they were feeding people 100 grams of protein after a workout instead of the usual 30?
No.
And their muscle protein synthesis was continuing for a 12-hour time frame.
Wow.
So, you know, they only say that you can digest only 30 grams of protein at a time. Well, these people were given, I think, 100 grams of protein from, I believe it was beef and maybe casein and things like that. So it wasn't whey, which is really quick digesting. It was slower digesting proteins, and their muscle protein synthesis was continuing over like 12 hours, which is insane.
Wow. And it was just based on how many grams of protein they gave them?
Well, I think it was also based on the source of protein.
Well, that's a big one too.
So like, as in beef, it was obviously tied to fat. So then you're slowing down, I guess, the utilization of the protein is my guess. That the fact that it's tied to the fat, because the way that I view eating after I work out is like, okay, my muscles really want glycogen and they really want protein.
Yep.
If I put fat in there, it will slow down the time it's going to take to get in there. And I don't want to do that. So I avoid fat, you know, when I work out, straight after I work out. And I think that there may be a trick to that. It sounds like there's a trick with the glucose spikes, that if you add fat, then you slow out out the glucose spike.
That's exactly what's happening. So a lot of people are concerned about blood glucose levels right now for good reason. I feel like we're finally online to how much our blood glucose affects our overall health, because it's really at the basis of our metabolism and metabolic health. And what happens when you just have a straight carbohydrate like that, it's going to spike your blood glucose levels really high, and then you're going to crash a lot quicker, and then you're going to be hungry faster.
Right.
But when you add a protein or a fat in there, it's actually going to mitigate that spike from going up so high.
Right.
So then you're not just doing a roller coaster.
And it's also a mood roller coaster. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big effect on moods.
Big effect.
See,
on
that
moods.
One's, for me, the one that I care about. I'm like, wait, will it make me less of a bitch? Well, then I want to eat like that. You know, I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I'd like to be less of a bitch.
Okay, so how do you eat to be less like a bitch?
Well, not. Yeah, well, that's
what
a good question.
What does your diet look like?
My very protein focused.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be kind of, in order to, once you figure out how much protein you need to be getting, and I'm 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Mm-hmm. So it's like 200 grams of protein. Once you figure out how much you should be getting optimally for you, you know, whatever that is for you.
I'll tell people it's 1 gram per, so you base it off of your ideal body weight. Right. So like for me, let's say my ideal body weight is 140, then I would want to strive for 140 grams protein a day.
Right. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I'm about, well, I don't know, 200 pounds. So I eat 200 grams. And so once you kind of figure out that that's the amount that you want to get, then you can't help but focus on it every time you sit down for a meal. It's like, where's the protein? What's it look like? But when I talk to people who are new to exercise and health and wellness, I say, what are you eating? And when you sit down and look at your plate, how much protein is there? Like mm-hmm. You really want to make sure that you're nailing that. Number one for satiety, to make sure that you're full when you eat. That's pretty important. That's kind of the entire point of eating, but also to make sure that we hold on to muscle. You're going to be losing fat. That's good. We don't want to lose weight. We want to lose fat.
Yes.
We don't want to lose muscle. So we want to eat enough protein that our protein is held on to and we keep it. And we don't get sarcopenic in the process of losing weight. To be less of a bitch, I just eat enough protein. And I started eating breakfast in order to make sure that I get 200 grams of protein, because it's very hard to do with the intermittent fasting thing.
It's really hard. I was going to ask you if you do intermittent fasting.
I used to. Okay. I did it for a long time. And I do think there is a little bit of bitchiness that comes about when at about 11 a.m. and when you're pushing it to lunch, you become a little bit of a bitch. And you're like, oh, should I have a second coffee or should I just eat?
Yeah.
You know, it's like your body's probably signaling to you to eat right now, especially if you want to get enough protein in. So yeah, I'm aware of that. Those hunger pangs, et cetera.
Yeah.
But yeah, in order to get enough protein, I just had to start eating breakfast.
What does your breakfast look like?
Ideally, maybe it's different every day. So it might be 5 eggs if I have the time to cook, or it'll be, if on the run, it'll be, I grab my own protein drink.
Which I want to talk about.
Which is really fun, but it's really great to grab and go something that's 30 grams of protein, which is my drink, and just go. It's also lower calorie. So it's just kind of getting the protein in there without any extra stuff in there, like no, very low carb, very low fat. And then if I work out, what I'll do is I'll come back and I'll have fat-free Greek yogurt with whey protein powder on top and frozen berries and some stevia or something to make it yummy.
Love that.
What do you think about stevia?
I like stevia. It's okay. I will say it is becoming more controversial, I think for good reason. So I have a really good friend who's a doctor, and she has been dealing with a lot of patients that are dealing with infertility, as a lot of women are struggling with right now.
Yes.
And she has had 4 or 5 women now cut stevia out of their diet and then were able to get pregnant.
Wow.
So that really impacted me. And I will say for the longest time, my stance for years has been, I'm totally fine with stevia. It's a plant. So if you get just 100% pure stevia, which a lot of companies now are cutting it with dextrose and other things, like the stevia in the raw is not pure stevia.
Okay.
Also, Truvia is another one that's not 100% pure stevia. If you read the back, it says like dextrose and natural flavors, and there's all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I still maintain mostly that I'm okay with stevia if it's just 100% pure stevia. However, if you're trying to get pregnant, I would probably steer clear of it because of what I've been hearing about the fertility piece.
That's exactly. So when we were formulating Shakewell, we formulated it with allulose as a sweetener and stevia, like a mix of both, because allulose is a kind of a milder, sweeter taste. Mm-hmm. And stevia is obviously incredibly sweet. It's like more sweeter than sugar.
Yeah.
And people, when we posted it initially and just said, you know, we're making a protein drink, we hadn't released it yet, so many women wrote and said, please tell me there's no stevia in it. And so many people were writing about it. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with stevia, is there? And I talked to everybody I knew and they're like, nah, there's nothing wrong with stevia. But then it's the public perception, which is important.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you hear stories like the one you just told me. And I do believe, like, was it some South American nation, I believe, that was like, that they did studies saying that stevia was a natural contraceptive.
Yeah. I can't remember what country that came out of, but there is a study or some sort of conversation. I don't know if it's anecdotally or if there's actual study, but there is conversation coming out of a country and I can't remember what country
it was. It's wild to think that your friend who spoke about 4 women not being able to get pregnant, getting off stevia and then getting pregnant.
Isn't that crazy?
Really? The stevia was the thing that did it? You know...
I know. It's not all the endocrine disruptors. It's not the glyphosate.
Like, what else did they change? And also, like, how much stevia were they eating previously?
That's my thought, too.
My thought with stevia is it is so sweet that even a little bit goes a long way and that it could somehow affect you or all of you. I'm not a scientific brain, but it is wild to think that it could be, well, like the thing, or it could be just part and parcel of just a generally healthier, like were they told like, can you cut processed foods out, exercise more, and maybe give up stevia?
Yeah. And it could be that.
Was it the stevia? You know.
Yeah. Was it really stevia?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of monk fruit. And actually, I have kind of a gross story about allulose. Mm. So
she vaginal douches with allulose. Please don't tell me that you did that.
Don't try this at home, guys. I like allulose for the most part. I will say, though, that if you have it in high quantities, it can cause some pretty
gastric
crazy
distress.
So,
for sure.
Girlfriend of mine and I, one time during COVID, this is the height of COVID, okay? This is like we're locked in our homes. Like we have no idea what's going on. This is the very beginning. We're like, we're getting drunk and we're making margaritas with this allulose syrup that I had. We're like 30 minutes in. We both were convinced that we had COVID. Because remember in the very beginning, you get like crazy stomach issues. Like Everyone was like getting diarrhea and stuff and that it was COVID.
Right.
We were both like, I have to go. Like, yes. I think I have COVID and had the craziest stomach issues from that.
But you were smashing it. Like you were putting
We had a lot. We had a lot. I will say we were using it a lot.
That's the part of the problem with it is that it does require more to make things sweeter.
Yeah.
Because it's like 70% as sweet as sugar. So you have to add more in order to make something sweet.
Yeah.
There are studies that like over a certain amount, like I think it's like 40, 50 grams you have to have and it'll make you...
Oh, it was bad.
It'll make you ill.
It reminded me of the... I don't know if you ever saw the Amazon reviews for the Haribo, like sugar-free bears.
If people listening, if you're ever getting a chance, as it must be still up there somewhere.
It has to be.
Haribo sugar-free bears, people did reviews. And once a few people started doing reviews, I mean, you could tell that some TV writers got on who were like,
oh, for sure.
Have never had diarrhea from the bears, but decided to write horror stories of them after a first date.
Oh, it's amazing.
And yeah, some brilliant stuff in there.
Please go just if you need a good chuckle. It's hilarious.
The idea of being stuck in a apartment during COVID with your friend and needing to both shit yourselves is like a horror story too.
Well, then you add in the fact that we're terrified of COVID and we're both convinced that we now have it, not making the connection that it's just the allulose.
Yes. Wow. I don't remember the diarrhea portion of COVID. Was that a portion, was it?
Was
that the toilet paper debacle? Was that why everyone was getting toilet paper?
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, that was probably part of it in the beginning. I had a girlfriend very, very early on. When I say like this was early COVID, this was like March when this happened to us. Mm. And I had a girlfriend who both her parents got COVID very early. And that was one of the first symptoms that they had.
Oh, weird.
So it was really the very beginning like discourse of like if you have, you know, diarrhea and all this stuff like that was part of the symptoms.
Yep.
I don't know if it ever made it to the mainstream I don't know. Stress is a common factor that affects everyone in today's fast-paced world, leading to various issues. What if the answer to a better stress response is in a key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium. Actually, I'm more specifically talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This is a one-of-a-kind product, and it's designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could be causing a multitude of other health problems. What sets Magnesium Breakthrough apart is its ability to support healthy levels of stress hormones like cortisol, a better balanced stress response in your nervous and hormonal systems, and also healthy production of GABA, the relaxing neurotransmitter, leading to a more peaceful and better flow state. This means that this supplement acts like a brake on your body's nervous system, helping to calm and soothe, promoting a better quality of life. But you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. The truth is, most magnesium supplements you find in health stores use only two cheapest synthetic forms. And since they're not full spectrum, they won't help your magnesium deficiency or do much to support your health. There are actually 7 forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-balancing effects. That's why I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress, resilience, resilience, and better sleep all in one bottle. I actually found Bioptimizers initially through my doctor because my doctor also loves it and tells all of her patients to take it. So if you want to try it today, go to bioptimizers.com/realfoodology. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code realfoodology, there are always amazing gifts with purchase. That's why I love shopping at Bioptimizers. So make sure you go to bioptimizers.com to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. I have never been on hormonal birth control consistently my entire life, and I am so grateful for that. I remember in high school when all my girlfriends started getting on it, mostly for skin issues like acne and cycle issues. And I remember at the time thinking that it was really cool to be on birth control. And I begged my mom to let me go on it, and she wouldn't let me. And I am so grateful that she didn't, because I can't tell you how many girlfriends I have now in our 30s that are now coming off of birth control, having been on it for 15, 20 years, having been put on it when we were, you know, 13, 14, and they really regret it. There's so many complications that can happen with birth control, and women are dealing with fertility issues as they're coming off of birth control. And there's a lot of research coming out now just about how these synthetic hormones are really affecting women's health. So what do I do for birth control? I use something called Natural Cycles. It's an FDA cleared app, and you can either use a basal thermometer with it, or you can use a wearable, something like an Oura Ring or an Apple Watch, but you absolutely do not have to have the wearable. But if you do have it, it really does help. I really like using my Oura Ring with it. And essentially what it does is my Oura Ring just takes an average of my temperature overnight. And then in the morning, I open my Natural Cycles app, I sync it to my Oura Ring, and then it delivers all the information to my Natural Cycles app. And then from there, the Natural Cycles app tells me, based on hormone-driven changes in body temperature, this algorithm that they have lets me know whether or not I'm fertile that day. If I get a green day, it means that I'm not fertile and I'm good to go. If I get a red day, it means that I am fertile and I need to use another form of protection or abstain. And Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. Perfect use means no unprotected sex on your red days. If you are interested in trying Natural Cycles, go to naturalcycles.com and use code REALFOODOLOGY. You are going to get 15% off an annual subscription plus a free thermometer. So go to naturalcycles.com and use code REALFOODOLOGY, or you can go to naturalcycles.app/REALFOODOLOGY. This ad is sponsored by Natural Cycles, and Natural Cycles is for 18 plus and does not protect against STIs.
I tell you what I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
Is this new Olympics that the billionaire is paying for, and people can take steroids in the Olympics. Have you heard about this?
What? No.
Yes, billionaire is buying like a new Olympics, basically, where everyone in it can be on steroids.
Okay, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Now, why I think that's great is because for too long, we look upon steroids or any peptide or anything or any hormone like treatment as something that is bad or wrong. And it's like, if it's done responsibly, it's with a doctor's help, it's incredible. And it does incredible things for people.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, great. Like, let's bring out into the open the fact that there's a way in which you can live healthier and happier right now. And you know, these, everyone thinks of Ozempic and things like that immediately, but it's like, once you optimize your hormones, even through a synthetic hormone, like your life changes and people get so happy and are like, fuck, this is what I was missing out on.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you think about like testosterone. So just to speak to men specifically in this realm, testosterone levels are declining at a rapid rate right now. They're saying that men in their 20s have the same levels as a man in the 1970s in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like, they're declining at such a rapid rate. And so I know a lot of men are getting on the like testosterone, for example. I know Joe Rogan's a big proponent
RFK
for this.
RFK Jr. is on.
RFK.
Is on testosterone. Who else? Oh, there's somebody I know who I'm not allowed to say is on it. And I mean, by the way, it is a steroid.
Like, yeah.
It is. So that, just to clarify, that's what I mean. But it makes people feel amazing, you know, and if it's done responsibly and like with a doctor's care, as I said, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So why steer away from it? That's why I love this Olympic idea, is because it's going to shine a light on like how incredible you really can be.
That's
and
cool.
Hopefully it's done really safely and nobody dies.
I know.
In the process. The only thing.
Hopefully they're under the care of a doctor.
Athletes die all the time. Like just in general anyway, yeah. They're pushing their bodies all the time, whether they're on steroids or not. They die all the time because they're pushing their bodies to such extremes. Why not see how far we can go? Terrible story though. Let me tell you a terrible story. There was a guy, 24, I think he was Tanzanian or Kenyan. He's a marathon runner and he was the guy who was going to break his closest, fastest time was 2 hours 22 or something, like 22 seconds off 2 hours for running a marathon. He was going to break the 2 hour barrier for a marathon.
Oh my God.
And he died. He got hit by a car yesterday.
No, he didn't. Yes. Is that a real story?
Real.
That was not what I was expecting. I thought like collapsed.
No.
Like, oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Well, but he's 24 and apparently like the where marathon runners really hit is in their 30s.
Wow.
Oh, anyway, sad. Very sad. I'm sorry if I brought down the energy of the room.
It's okay. We're just going to bring it right back up. It's good.
It's great. Yeah.
I will say, so back to the hormones and the peptides thing, my only thing that I don't love about it is if someone's going on these hormones and there's no conversation about dialing in and optimizing their health from a preventative standpoint.
Yeah.
So like if someone's eating processed foods, not really taking care of their health, they're not optimizing their sleep, they're not, you know, doing the correct exercises for their body, and they're just pumping themselves with these hormones, I don't love that. I like the way that I'm assuming that you do it as well as like Joe Rogan does, where you're also dialed in with all the other biohacking modalities. Yeah. You know, you're eating really well. You're making sure you get a lot of good protein. Mm-hmm. You're doing the cold plunge and sauna, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But if there's no conversation about how you can optimize your health from other angles, you're basically just like throwing fuel on the fire.
Yeah, you're just drugging. Your doctor's just giving you drugs.
Exactly.
And you're not really doing anything about the, you know, the problem at its base, at its core. Yeah, so like there are things that you hear about testosterone of which, once again, I am not a scientific brain, but I hear are necessary. Enough saturated fat, zinc, which is high in red meat, enough protein, saturated fat is also in red meat, getting into the sun, vitamin D seems fantastic for all hormone health, but particularly testosterone. Lifting heavy things seems like incredible for testosterone. Cold on your balls is great. Sauna is okay, but don't get your balls cold, hot for long periods of time.
So I have a girlfriend right now who's trying to get pregnant and her husband is like really into going in the sauna. Mm. And so he puts an ice pack on his balls when he's in the sauna.
Good idea.
Okay.
Also phones in your pocket.
Yeah, that's a
big
one.
And that's legit.
That's a big one.
And if you talk to, so I had a, when I had my podcast, I had a Dr. Ellen Goldstein or Feldstein. I think it's Goldstein, who's a fertility specialist in Beverly Hills. And she said pot and alcohol.
Yeah, those are big ones if you're trying to get pregnant.
She said like guys hate to hear it, but it's like if you want to have a baby and fertility and you know, hormone health all leads to fertility, you should stop smoking pot. And she's like, they always hate it, but if they do it, it works. But you know what? I think that California has really, and you know, all the states that have allowed, you know, nearly all have allowed pot now, but it really shines a light on, okay, what does it really do? When you do legalize a drug, what has happened in society? You obviously can't get the actual causation. You can just get correlation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it does great things.
No, it doesn't.
For people who are really nauseous from chemotherapy, okay.
Yeah.
That's legit. You're, you know, struggling to have an appetite. That seems great.
Yeah.
You know, but just generally what it's doing to society, probably not all that great.
Yeah. It's kind of escapism, right? I feel like we're seeing so many different facets of escapism right now because people are generally, we're getting sick and fat and unhealthy and we don't have a lot of these modalities in place right now in society to create more thriving humans. You know, you really have to break out of the system. And if you're not breaking out of the system, then you're, you know, smoking weed or over-medicating yourself to escape all that right now.
And I'll say no judgment. I'm also like, I just don't enjoy it. I used to enjoy it very much. And now I can speak from a point of view that I don't enjoy it, which sounds really judgy. So if you enjoy it, like, you know, enjoy it, but also be a generally healthy person is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, make
Thank
sure you're
you for
eating
saying
enough
that.
And yeah, make sure you're eating enough and exercising enough. And once every while, you know, light it up.
Yeah, because I agree. I enjoy having an edible here and then.
There you go. Yeah.
I had one last night. It helped me go to sleep.
Oh, that's good. What milligram?
I actually don't know what the milligrams are. It's
You wild
this is
woman.
This is so funny.
Wild.
They're They actually happen to be a sponsor of the podcast. This is not a plug, but it's Cured Nutrition. They make these little, they call them Serenity Gummies. And it's a really small dose of THC. In fact, it's so small that sometimes I don't really feel anything. It just makes me feel very relaxed because it has CBD and it has other things that L-theanine I can't remember right now. Yeah, I think it has L-theanine, ashwagandha, and it just kind of relaxes my nervous system because, man, I do so many things at night to try to like get right.
See, that is an oxymoron. You're like, I do so many things to try and calm down.
That is so true.
And it's like, just watch The Bachelor. Sit down on the couch like this and watch The Bachelor.
I love that.
And all the little medications and all the supplements that we can take, let's just skip them. Like, it's going to be okay. We don't need to do so many things to relax. Oh my God, I have to relax. Oh my God. We're driving ourselves nuts.
That is me, though. That is me. I'm like, fuck, I have to do all these things before I can go to bed. And like, I need to relax.
But Sarah, there are some gummies in my house that my wife and mother-in-law take from time to time. They're really low. I think they're like 2.5 or 5.
Is it Kiva?
I don't know. But they're right there. And I'm like, But I, you know, I've eaten pot twice and both times have been heavy doses of which I've just freaked.
I've
been the worst. And so now I just don't even, I'm like, even if it's 2.5, I just don't want to know about it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. But let's talk about the calming down thing. You got any good things if you find really work to calm down?
The number one thing that's helped me the most is the lighting. Once the sun goes down, I don't use any of my overhead lights, like the LEDs, anything like that. I have lamps. I have salt lamps. And then I have these special lamps in my bedroom that have an amber light bulb. And that's all I use at night.
And amber's like orangey red? Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
nice.
Think about like the pink salt crystal lamps that people get. Kind of is, my whole apartment is that color.
And it's just a bulb? That you get from Amazon and you just plug it in?
Yep, so you can do bulbs. Good. And then I have these other lamps that are from Lofty and they have different settings on them. So they'll have like a regular like blue light kind of light that I can use earlier in the day if I want. And then I press this one button and at night it turns into this amber light.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really nice.
Do you red light? Do you do the thing? Do you do it?
Yeah. Okay. I don't do it consistently every night, but I'm really trying to because there is so much research coming out right now about how good red light is for us on so many different levels.
Yeah. I believe it. I used to mess around with it. When I first found out about it, I was putting it on my balls like 20 minutes every day. You know, I was probably overkilling it.
Yeah.
I used to put it on my face too, but I found that my I had dark spots coming up. And especially supposed to get rid of that.
Yeah,
but I had it coming up. And so I was like, I don't want to put it on my face anymore. I don't know about it. Like, I'm not sure. So I kind of avoid putting it on my face anymore. So these people, those masks.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about those?
I like them. I will tell you, though, I haven't been doing them consistently because of exactly what you just said. I always approach new trends like this with a bit of cautious, like trepidatiousness, because I'm always worried that like when something is really being pushed and there's all these signs coming out, right? We're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's doing X, Y, and Z and all this stuff. Oftentimes when things are really trendy like that, we come back like 10 years later and we're like, ooh, we got that one kind of wrong.
Yeah, right.
You know? And so with any of this kind of stuff, I try to take it not to an extreme. Like I'll do it and I've been doing the red light, but I am kind of concerned that we're going to come back later and be like, oh, you were like microwaving yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's interesting. And I think it's a good point. And I think like it could be that for cold and hot.
Yeah.
What we're seeing with sauna and red and cold plunging, it could be that, you know, it's really like a heavy push from society right now to go, you got to be cold plunging every day, bro. And I am, you know, I cold plunge and I absolutely love it. And I do think that there's an evolutionary, particularly for me as a person who's come from, like my heritage would be Scottish and English, when my ancestors for sure went out taking hot baths for hundreds of years. Like the idea of a hot bath was like, what? You're getting in a hot bath. Are you going to boil water to bath in? That's crazy. All my ancestors were jumping into cold water to bathe or like washing their clothes in cold water. They were in cold all the time. They were in cold environments all the time. I think that the idea that getting in cold water is good for you makes a shit ton of sense for me evolutionarily. Even though the science probably doesn't say that that's the case, when I think about it, I'm like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Since when do we take in hot showers and hot baths all the time? Like, that's a crazy comfort that has come with the new world.
Do you drink filtered water? Hopefully you do. And hopefully by now you know that tap water is loaded with all sorts of pharmaceutical drugs, pesticides, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, etc. But what I'm here to talk to you about today is if you are filtering your water, you've got to make sure that you are replenishing the electrolytes and the minerals back in your water. One of the ways that I love to do this is with Element. It's spelled L-M-N-T. And by looking at the package, you may initially feel a little bit of a shock with the amount of sodium in there. But if you go back and listen to my episode with Dr. James Denick, who wrote a book called The Salt Fix, he talks all about how we, for the most part, are actually not getting enough salt. We forget that sodium is an imperative part of our fluid and electrolyte balance. We actually need sodium. It's imperative to have it in certain levels. And the majority of Americans are getting most of their salt from processed packaged foods and fast foods and from eating out. So if you are not eating out a lot, which hopefully you're not, but that's a discussion for another day, most likely you're probably actually not getting enough salt. So this is one thing that I love about Element is it has a really high sodium level, and then it also has potassium and magnesium in there. So it's replenishing your electrolytes. Also, I love the saltiness of it. There's a couple different flavors that I love the most. The grapefruit is hands down my favorite. I also really love the raspberry and the watermelon. And if you're concerned about the natural flavors, they also just have a raw unflavored as well that has no flavors in it. It just has the sodium, potassium, and magnesium in there. Element gave me a deal to share with you guys, which I love them so much for this. If you guys go to drinkelement.com/realfoodology, that's drinkelement.com/realfoodology. You're going to get a free sample pack after you make a purchase. So you get one packet of every flavor so you can try all the different flavors and then see which one you like the best. So again, that is drinkelement.com/realfoodology. Element is spelled L-M-N-T. That is true. And I've never thought about it like that before. I always look to the Scandinavian countries with their relationship with like the cold plunge and everything. Mm-hmm. I worked for a Swedish woman for 4 years, and it's so ingrained in their culture. Like, that's just what you do in the winter. You literally go and you drill a hole in the ice and you jump in, and it's part of their tradition. Wow. But they do also have the tradition of the sauna, and they've been doing that for a really long time. So I think when you look at that and how long humans have been doing this, there has to be some truth to it.
I think so. And then you hear the ideas about like Peter Attia is getting into sauna, and he's like, this is legit. I heard some facts about heart attacks and strokes being like the chances of them being lessened by sauna. I believe
that. Too. Yeah.
I think for cold, for me, it's about the brain. Mm-hmm. It's about what's going on, the chemistry of the brain, you know, the increase in norepinephrine and dopamine. Once again, I'm not a science guy. I want to be very open about that. I don't know that that's true, but I've been told that that's true. But I certainly feel really great doing cold plunging and getting out and going, wow, I feel incredible. And so that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
It feels like an incredible coffee, but better with more dopamine. You know, it's like, wow, you did it, baby.
I
just
love
got into
that
and got out. That was great.
Fuck yeah.
And you got to film it.
That
adds to the dopamine.
You're just doping.
Yeah. Yeah. But doping big time.
Oh, how often do you do the cold plunge?
I used to do it every day, and now I'm less religious about it.
Yeah.
I was doing it like literally every day, every morning, and it became like a habit like that. And then now I get up and go and teach a couple mornings a week, like at 5 a.m. I'm out the door, so I'm not getting up and cold plunging. And now I'm doing it at night more often, and so I'm probably doing it like 3 days a week. It's always fun to like let things get less religious and become just a part of your life, but not the center of your life.
I also couldn't agree more.
You don't have to talk about it all the time now. You can talk about other things.
That's like, so true. Like your morning routine.
My morning routine.
Let's talk about your morning routine.
Can you believe that ice plunging, despite having an ice plunge, I don't add it to my morning routine? Like,
really?
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I am shocked by that.
I could be like one of those people like you want to choke. Like, it's like, cold plunge? Fuck you, you know? But I'm not one of those people. I think my morning routine is very accessible.
Okay, so
what about yours?
Through.
How inaccessible is your morning routine?
Actually, mine is not that crazy. I think people have a misunderstanding about me. And I think there's a conception that there's a certain rigidity about me that's not real life for me.
Yeah. You're kind of a go with the flower a bit more than people think.
Okay. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, because I've also been doing this for a very long time. I mean, I've been on this real food train, if you will, for, I mean, like 15 years now. And everything I'm talking about on my Instagram, I've been talking about since college. So none of this is new to me. And I don't say that from like, you know, coming from this place of like, you know, superiority. I'm just saying that I've been doing this for so long that a lot of the things that I talk about on my Instagram are just second nature to me.
Yep.
And so I'm not like doing this whole rigid routine, and I'm still eating out. Yeah, I'm eating seed oils out because you can't control everything, you know? Yeah. So I'm not this like perfect person, and I try to get that across as much as I can on my Instagram, but it's also I'm on a mission to share what's going on right now, so there's this disconnect, you know?
Yeah, what a moral failing to eat out and eat seed oils.
Oh, I mean,
you're
it's
a
awful.
Terrible person. You know, you could post about that. Just once in a while, let people know, like, hey, I'm eating fries. Fuck you. You know, let them know.
I know. I do. I will tell you, though, I'm in this dilemma because then I have these accounts that they wait for me to like do any sort of mistake and they pounce on it and then they repost it.
They love it.
Oh, they love it. Like another great example is it's really popular to vilify alcohol right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. Like I fully agree. I think the science coming out right now is super valid. I love that Dr. Amen is talking about how alcohol is affecting our brain. It's making us more susceptible to all these different cancers. Like I'm not saying that it's not bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
I have a more traditional standing with alcohol is that we've also been drinking it for thousands of years. And if I have a healthy relationship with alcohol, and if I can have a glass of wine here and there at dinner and have one and be totally fine, I like to enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like I
think it's good for particularly what I've heard it does for libido and female libido in particular.
Ooh.
Like I'm like, okay, well that's a great payoff.
Yeah.
Like if it means that like you're going to go and have like beautiful lovemaking now, that's good.
That's great.
And who's
going
to negate that? Like would you rather not have the sex and not have the wine or have a glass of wine and have the sex? Because I know that the sex is better than like it's very good for you.
Yeah. So, also wine and sex, like who doesn't want that?
There it is right there. Like, but it's just one glass of wine that makes the effect and two glasses of wine doesn't do the same thing.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard
of
that.
Ben Creed Greenfield did a podcast on these studies showing that just a glass of red wine, just one, not in the giant glasses. I know everyone's thinking about the giant glasses, just the regular glasses of red wine and its effect on male and female libido, but particularly female.
That's interesting.
I wish I could give you the PMID right off the top of my head, but I don't know that sort of thing.
I'll try to find that and add it to the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my mentality is that occasionally I like to enjoy a glass of wine, so sue me, you know, and I know it's not the best thing. And I also, there's so many things that I do in my life to ensure that my body is resilient, and I do so many things to take care of my health that every once in a while I want to let loose and have a glass of wine.
Absolutely.
And the whole reason I brought this up is because there was a time that I shared on my Instagram that I was having a glass of wine with a girlfriend, and then there was a whole video made about me calling me a hypocrite because I drink wine. And I was like, okay, everyone needs to calm down. It's just crazy.
Ridiculous. And they follow that. So just out of interest, do these people follow you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they don't. They're just watching in order to catch you, but they don't follow you.
No. There's a couple of these accounts. There's the one that you mentioned earlier with that guy who literally put a wig on to
do. It was a bad blonde wig, though. It wasn't a good one.
I know. My hair looked terrible on it.
Yeah, that's what was offensive about it.
That was so offensive. Yeah. Like, you could have at least gotten the hair right, you know? Like, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a couple accounts like that, him, and there's another one. And they're just waiting essentially for me to make any sort of any little slip up or mistake. And
yeah,
I mean, I kind of just have to get over it and just own it. But that's kind of why I don't really live in that middle ground of being like, see, I'm eating fries. Like, not that I don't want to show that, but I also think there is a fine line because we're at this place right now in this country where people don't fully grasp how bad we're eating.
Mm.
And there's this narrative of, oh, everything in moderation, but then they're not understanding that everything that they're eating is doused in glyphosate. And if you're not eating organic, you're getting exposed to all these other chemicals. And if you're not drinking filtered water, And so there's a lot of nuance that needs to happen where if you're not also paying attention to all of that, you could think that you're eating really healthy and not be eating as healthy as you are, you know? And then you're adding the French fries on top of it and everything else.
Yeah. So you're kind of saying like you'd rather not be in the everything in moderation camp by showing that you do eat fries every once in a while. You'd rather be a good example, even if you're not a perfect example in truth all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, but
it does preach a good... yeah, I understand.
But again, I am careful. Like if people listen to my podcast all the time, they know that I go out and I eat chips and salsa and, you know, French fries that I know that are being cooked in canola oil from time to time because it's just the reality of the situation. And I don't want to create this unhealthy... because when I was younger and I was really getting into all of this, I was not going to dinner with friends because I didn't want to be exposed to this stuff. And then I realized that there was a mental health aspect that was really unhealthy. So you needed to find that balance. So I do share about it, but it's just not as consistently as people probably would want to see for me.
Yeah, it is important to note that community is, you know, as important as your diet in many cases. So going out with friends and having that time with them of connection is vitally important, as vital as, you know, anything else. I do want to ask you about organic, but let me just tell you my incredible morning routine first.
Throw in your skincare too.
What?
Throw in your skincare.
My skin. Oh, I'll tell you about that. But that's less impressive. But my my morning routine is this. I work some mornings, so I don't do a morning routine. I just go to work. And then other mornings, I'm with my sons, and I get up and we just fart around and wrestle and play with toys. This is great. You should definitely all do this. And then I cook for them and see how I haven't had any time to myself yet.
Yeah,
and so I haven't gotten to do anything. What I do get up and do is drink a large glass of water with electrolytes. And then later on, I want to get into the sun. So I take my sons outside. And we get, you know, we don't try and get sunlight in our eyes. We just go outside and we spend some time out there. And we try and do that in the winter months too. And then I caffeinate about an hour after. I try to have about 30 to 50 grams of protein after about an hour or two. And then I do like a spiritual thing where I read the Bible and I have a little journal that just asks me some questions like, what are you grateful for today? What do you want to pray? What do you want to pray today? Like, who do you want to pray for? And who are you? Which is a question that's like a little bit more Christian. So it's, I'm a Christian. If you didn't gauge that in the last 30 seconds, but it's like, you know, I am essentially like a child because I'm a person who's not in control of my life. Now, children are obviously not in control of their lives, but we are all not in control of our lives. We have this idea that we may be in control, but we're not at all. Kids are quite obviously not in control of their lives. Yeah. So I always write something like, I'm a child who's in God's arms, aka I'm taken care of and I need to fall back into the arms and stop trying to hold on and control. So it's like a release, like a child just over, like my son knows every morning we're going to get him up. We're going to give him food. He's going to be taken care of. I want to have that same trust in God. It's that same thing.
I love that.
So that's like a little, the little practice. It's not, it's very accessible. So what have we got? Hydrating, caffeinating, protein, some spiritual aspect and some sunlight. And that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Deep.
That's actually less than what I was expecting from you. I was expecting a whole like, and then I sauna, and then I cold plunge.
No, I don't cold plunge. Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's really accessible.
That's
great. Because you got to be a dad. Like you can't really fuck around with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it being a dad? Do you love it?
I love being a dad. I was telling my wife before. You know, my son right now is in this stage where he doesn't want to go to sleep unless you're going to go to sleep too, and so that means that I have to sleep up in his room sometimes. But I usually, what I do is I'm putting him to bed and I'll go, I'll be back. And I do come and sleep with him because he wakes up in the middle of the night scared and then he wants to get out of his cot and come downstairs. And last night he was like, come on, come on. I'm like, I'm not coming to bed right now. I'll come to bed later. And he kind of left like a bit cryy. And I just, I feel it so much when he's sad. I'm a sucker. I'm absolutely sucked in and stuffed. Then today he had, he was at his daycare and he got diarrhea and he had to come home. When my wife told me that, honestly, I get stabbed in the heart.
Aww.
And I'm like, I can't explain this. because it's not a feeling that I've ever really felt before. I'm like, I'm so connected to this child. I'm so connected to him. And there's a second one who's one. And I'm connected with him too, but not so much as the third one, like the one who's three. I'm just so, I feel him so deeply when he's sad and when he's hurt and when he's sick and oh.
I heard that happens. I heard that it's it takes a little bit of time, and maybe I'm totally wrong in your situation, but that it takes a little bit of time for them to actually develop into a human where you really start to feel that connection.
Dad's later than mum's.
Yeah.
Mum's obviously can feel a connection really early. For me, I always found that around 9 months was like, okay, it's go time for daddy. Like, it's like they're moving, they're crawling, they're awake, they're alive, they can look at you. And it's like, now you're involved. And then once the more you get involved, the more that you love them and the more that they love you. And I think what people talk about is like, oh, how much you love them and how great that is. But the way that they love you is so, I don't know what to call it, heartbreaking. It's just crazy. You get home and they're like, daddy. And they come up for a hug and you're like, oh my God, you know.
You just melt right there.
I'm totally stuffed. I'm totally at his beck and call.
It's so sweet to hear a man talk about this because you don't hear about this as often, men talking about it in that way. So I really appreciate that. I'm very excited to be a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be great.
Thank you.
Are you planning on it?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. With him?
We've had many conversations.
Oh, nice.
This is not a surprise.
That's exciting. It's so much fun, and I recommend it because it's like it's also for me. I don't think as a man I was ever like I don't know if I'll ever be ready. And the kind of the best thing to do if you don't know if you'll ever be ready is to just do it.
Yeah,
which sounds like terrible advice. It also goes like, okay, why do you want to have kids? And it's like maybe there's not a great reason. But it's just a fucking good thing to do.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It's taken me off myself like completely.
Yeah.
I'm just on, like I just told you about this, my son Chaplin, I'm on him, I'm off me.
See, I love that. And I think that's so important for people because we get to a certain age and I feel like I actually think that it's better for us and as a society to have something else to worry about than just ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, there's also like an idea that sometimes I catch myself talking about the pros of having children and I make it all about me, kind of like it takes me off me. It sounds like it's a good thing for me.
Yeah.
And that is the case. But the reason that I'm off me is because I'm taking care of something that is more precious than me in a way. Like it's like you are more important than me.
And it gives you a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. It's I mean, honestly, if I'm like, I've never really talked about this, but you know, the whole Christianity thing and the idea in Christianity is that God is the Father. That's always talked about throughout the Bible. And what I see when I'm with my son and when I'm a good dad, I'm like, oh, this is God the Father. I let him do things that are dangerous, but I'm watchful. And I'm there, but I'm like standing back. And if he's being careful, then I let him go. But if he's not being careful, I step in. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, that's God the Father. And when he's walking down, when he's walking on like a tree trunk and he could fall, like I'm there and I may step in to catch you, but I also, if you kind of slip, I actually wouldn't mind if you did fall because it'll be good for you to figure out how to do it right. That's God the Father too.
Yeah.
You know, it's all these ways, like the way in which, like I just told you, when he wakes up, he knows he's taken care of. That's God the Father as well. He doesn't even think, oh, I'm taken care of. He's like, I'm taken care of? Of course I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
They're like, going to get me up and give me food today.
Yeah.
And they're going to take me and do things. Like, they got me. They don't even think about it. You know? That's God the Father too.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I just want to say I love your videos so much with Chaplin, the three-year-old.
Yeah.
The videos of, I'm going to totally mess this up because I don't remember the exact context, but of him like talking about his poop.
Not his poo. He just, we go on a hike every Saturday or Friday or Saturday. And for some reason on this hike, people just let their dog shit everywhere and just shit everywhere. And so on this hike, he's just like, everywhere he sees a poo, he just yells out poo and he points at it. He's like, poo, and like kind of celebrates there's poo and he wants to look at it. And
so
it's such a joy. He just loves poo so much. I gotta go poo. And he's like, I'm coming. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're staying here. He's like, no, I'm coming. He wants to watch you poo.
That's like my dog.
Yeah. Does your dog watch you poo?
He tries to.
Oh, wow.
He literally, I was in the bathroom the other day, fully closed the door, and he just boom, like bum rushes, like opens the door, like slams his whole body against the door just to get into the bathroom with me. And I'm like, what is the need to be in here with me?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, and he watches like Kara pee and poo too, like really wants to understand how it all works. I'm like, this is an education.
I mean, it really is.
It's probably good. Like, yeah. Something like, great. I want you to understand what it all looks, how it all works. And
I mean, it's how they learn, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so how do you approach health with your kids?
We just feed them, you know, the 1-year-old eats whatever he's given. He's fantastic. And when my son Chaplin was one, he was the same way. And then as time goes on, he gets more and more picky and you're like, we're serving you this great food. Why aren't you eating it? Of which you end up eating it. Cause I grew up, you know, lower middle class. So you just want to, nothing can go to waste. You have to eat it, which means you get into an energy surplus very quickly.
Ooh,
because you're eating 1.5 meals, you know, essentially. So I'd say the best thing I've found is like, okay, he's picky, but present him with the great food anyway and just keep doing it. So sometimes like, cause we almost got into a habit where it was like, well, we know he's not going to eat it. So we're just not going to present it. And we'll just give him popcorn or we'll just give him these, you know, we've got these like nice chips or whatever that are cooked in not bad oils.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, and I'm like, no. Always present. Make sure that he knows that it's there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll eat it and sometimes he won't. But if he complains about it, it's like, this is what's for dinner and that's that. We're not making you anything else.
Yes.
You know, and so just keep presenting.
That's actually really important parenting to do. Do you know Kelly Levesque? Be no. Well by Kelly.
Mm-mm.
So she's a good friend of mine. She's also I don't know her exact title, but she's a nutritionist that works with clients and she has 3 kids. And she talks about this all the time. For kids, it's so important that you need to continue to present these foods to them because in the beginning, of course, they're going to be like, oh no, like I don't want this. I don't like it. But if you keep introducing it to them, they eventually develop a palate for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is oftentimes parents after 2 or 3 times are like, oh, never mind. Like they're just not ever going to eat it or touch it. And that's how you create a picky child.
Right.
So you want to keep presenting it to them. And also another really good thing is, my mom used to do this with me is that she told me when I was little, she refused to make a separate meal for her and my dad and for me. She was like, you're eating what we're all eating.
Yes.
And if you're not going to eat it, then you're going to go to bed hungry. And you're going to learn your lesson. And she said that I did it one time. And she said it was the hardest thing ever. She cried all night because I was crying. I was starving because I refused to eat. And my mom was like, okay, if you don't eat, you're going to go to bed hungry.
Yeah.
And she said, I never did it ever again.
You always ate the meal.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That is good. I heard from somebody, Boob to Food, I think her name is.
Boob to Food.
She does like weaning babies and when they're getting off. When they're getting off milk and they're getting into hard foods, she kind of nails that. But she nails cooking for the whole family, including toddlers and babies, which is she's a really good follow actually. But she said no baby or no child has ever had any, you know, health issues from missing one meal.
Exactly.
If they're going to miss it, but this is what's for dinner. I'm not making you anything else.
Yeah. Well, because you set the precedence. And so, you can allow them to get away with things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I've been actively telling my son no recently, just sometimes for the hell of it, because I notice like he gets yes like a lot when we go out. Like if we say no, he'll throw a tantrum. And I'm like, okay, well, then you're going to hear no more about the things that you want to do. And I need to practice getting better at telling you no so that, you know, you're not hearing yes all the time.
Yeah.
So I've been actively going no.
How's that going?
Recently. It's good because it's good for me because, as I said, I'm a sucker for him. And I'll do anything. I really want to do anything for him. But I'm like, I'm not going to have a brat. Like, we can't have a brat.
Yeah.
So I just am saying no. You know, we had this, we were at the trampoline park the other day. And it's all these shiny games, you know, that you can shoot things and ride bikes and, you know, things like those games. Arcade games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was just getting on all of them. And he wouldn't get off. And he was like, and I'm like, hey, we're at the trampoline park. Let's go on, get on the trampolines. And he's just like, I'm like, nah. And I'm like, I could just give in and pay $2 and let him do this. But I'm like, no, I'm going to say
stay
no.
Stay strong, daddy.
Stay no. Because you've got to just stay strong. Yeah, say no. And so like, yeah, that's something I'm working on right now is actively just saying no so that he doesn't become a little brat.
I think that's super important.
Yeah, got to hear no.
Yeah.
I had no all the time. Sorry, get into the next
no,
one.
No, you're good. You're good. No, I love this. I'm going to take it a different direction because I'm really curious to hear your experience. So you grew up in Australia, right? Mm-hmm. Where in Australia?
Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you move over here? And when you moved over here, did you notice a stark difference in your health and how you felt eating the foods here in America compared to Australia?
Good question. Well, I think when I moved over here 15 years ago, so I was like 20, 21. And I was previously living with my mum who mm-hmm. cooked me my meals. And then you come over and you're like, oh my God, I got to cook for myself. And at first I was kind of flirting with vegetarianism. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I stopped doing that. I guess, you know, you slowly figure it out. So I was a model when I came over. I was a model / actor.
I'm not surprised by that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was a little, you know, I was a little bitch. I got to look like a little bitch and I was
You fully
skinny.
Have the look for it. So I was, yeah, like I was, a Greek god over
I was
here.
Skinny. Well, but this was back in the day when I was just a skinny little bitch, you know. And so I was, you know, flirting with vegetarianism. And as you know, and that's how I kind of got into health was just vanity. It was just like, okay, how do I look my best? And then you're like, oh, actually, this is really interesting. And I started to love it. Did I notice anything different with the food system? Obviously, the choice was there. I started eating those. Is it Butterfingers? They were amazing.
I love those.
Wow, those were incredible. I mean, I've never experienced this level of fat shit before, you know?
Yeah, it's but, bad. I have a keto Butterfinger for you, actually. That's incredible.
Are you a keto gal?
I flirt with keto.
Yeah. You favor fats to carbs.
Yes. But I'm really more favoring protein because I am trying to focus more on building muscle.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. How's it going?
It's going decent. It's a lot harder for women.
Yeah, it can take some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a lot harder for women because of the testosterone, the hormone.
Exactly.
Thing. What are you doing? Are you taking, are you eating mostly meat? Do you supplement with whey or?
Yeah, so I do. I do whey occasionally, but whey kind of messes with my stomach.
Because of the lactose or?
I don't know what it is.
Is it the eight?
It might be the lactose. That's why I want to ask you about your, so we'll talk about your protein shake next. What I've been doing lately is there's this brand called Equip Foods that mm-hmm. does beef protein isolate.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And so I've been switching back and forth because I've noticed if I do whey consistently, then I start getting bloated. I start kind of having like some digestive issues, but I can kind of go back and forth where I'll do like whey and then I'll do beef protein isolate. So I have like two different ones I really like to use.
Yeah. I think beef protein like sounds really great. It just as a person, as an entrepreneur, I'm like, I just don't foresee people getting into it.
I know.
You know, not seeing it on the back of their chocolate shake and it says beef protein is like, ugh. You know, it kind of sounds gross, but it's amazing. I mean, I know it's amazing. It's just like it's maybe a hard sell.
I know. Yeah. It is. I've actually had a lot of people write me too saying that they didn't really like the Equip Foods because it tasted kind of meaty to them.
Yeah.
And it kind of ruined it for me a little bit, if I'm being honest, because I'd never really thought that. Then I was like, oh,
yes,
God.
Yes.
That is kind of gross, but I still just power through them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, it's good. Because you got to get it in like when you're trying to build muscle. What about essential aminos?
So I was taking branch chain amino acids for a while from Keon.
Oh, wow. No, you mean essential, not branch. I don't do a branch chain. Essential.
You don't, or is that what it is?
Keon does essential.
It's the essential.
They're against branch chain.
Oh, they are.
They don't
are
like branch
it.
Chain. They talk shit on branch chain.
Oops. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I get the lingo a little bit because I get it mixed up because I come from a real food approach.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is kind of a different angle when you're coming more from the fitness world because I didn't really study a lot of that stuff.
Well, yeah, it's very like hypertrophy based ideas that are very lab made. Kind of stuff. It's not whole food. Like,
exactly.
You know, all the nine essential amino acids are perfect ratios in meat and milk and dairy products.
Yes.
So you don't really need to be thinking about it if you're a whole food person. But if you're like, if you want to be a beast and you want to up level, you know, essential aminos are really great. Branch chain, what I hear is kind of a very expensive pee project. Like if you want to pee really expensively, branch chain amino acids are that. So Keon does a really great essential amino acid and what's in it is really high levels of leucine. I think it's about 2 grams of leucine, which is the perfect dose to switch on mTOR, the mTOR pathway, which is the muscle protein synthesis thing. So that's good.
Okay, so maybe I need to get back on those. I actually have the founder coming on the podcast soon.
Yeah, Angelo's awesome.
He's amazing.
I'm glad you're talking to him.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's just a factoid. Like he just, because he sells essential amino acids, so he knows everything about
it. He knows his shit.
Really does. And he's really great. You'll love him. Yeah.
So let's talk about your product. You mentioned earlier, what made you create it? Because oftentimes people create a product because there was a gap in the market. So what did you want?
I exactly what I want. What I wanted was something that I could drink that was for me. And it's kind of a, because with entrepreneurs and starting a brand, there's always got to be a story.
Yeah, tell us.
I was
like,
oh my God, what's your story? And it, you know, I was like, oh, I wish I was like really skinny and pathetic, and I really need, and this was the only thing that did it. But it wasn't that. It was like, I want something that's great. I just want a great protein drink that isn't full of crap. And that was it. Simple as that.
Go and
get any protein drink on the market right now. Why have they got 20 different ingredients?
When
all you
oils?
Want is the protein. Exactly. Like, why have you got any of this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, and it's to make it taste good, and it still doesn't taste good.
I know.
That's the thing. And so I'm, you know, that was my big question. I was like, well, why can't we just kind of like mix something together here and make a really, you know, minimal ingredients, high protein drink? And my co-founder, she is a cheesemaker, former cheesemaker. Mm. So she would make cheeses, and obviously the runoff from cheese is whey. And she was like, I actually make whey. And we were just talking. I was like, I want to do a protein drink. She's like, I make whey. And she's like, what if I added whey isolate to liquid whey, to fresh whey? And that's kind of a unique spin on protein drinks.
Yeah.
And then it was working, and it's working, and it tasted good. And we started messing around with flavors and sweeteners and trying to keep the ingredients list to about 6, with 30 grams of protein, low fat, low carb. And we managed to do it, and we released it. We did a soft launch a couple of weeks ago, and we're doing a stiff. So we did a flaccid launch 2 weeks ago, and we're doing a big, hard, stiff launch. A big, rotten, big one, thick, girthy launch next week or the week after.
Sorry,
mid-March. So we're very excited about the big, stiff, girthy launch. But it is difficult because it's fresh, and it's got to be kept fresh. So it's got to be kept refrigerated.
Mm.
And we don't want to add preservatives to it. We don't want it to be this kind of like Fair Life like bottle that's like, you know, light can't see it and it lasts for 2 years. Mm-mm. And you don't know how that works. And it's like, I don't want it to be that. So we've got to fight to make it work so that it has a shelf life, so that by the time it reaches you, even if it's gotten warm in shipping, that it still reaches you fresh. And so this is the battle, and this is why people don't do it.
Yeah.
This is why no one's done it. Like, we're kind of taking it on and going, there's got to be a way. And so we're fighting that fight right now and figuring out and learning so much about the entire process of manufacturing something that's fresh and that is minimal ingredients, and that, you know, the idea that people, a food scientist, can come to us and go, oh, what about this preservative? Like, nah.
Yeah.
Don't want to know about it, because if we add that, we've got to write it on the ingredients list, and we really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We were using an instantized whey isolate with sunflower lecithin in it. And I was like, oh, well, it's instantized. That's great. But it's instantized, and the process of making it instantized, which means it melts in liquid,
mm-hmm.
takes sunflower lecithin to make that happen. And I'm like, well, it's not the worst, because I'm sure it's minimal. But have I got to write sunflower lecithin on the ingredients? They're like, yep. I'm like, I don't want it then. Like,
oh,
I don't
want
to have to put it on the back. Like, I just, because people are going to have their issues with it. And I know as a consumer, I have my issues with it. I just don't want anything that's in there for no fucking reason. Sorry to swear.
Reach.
I just don't want it in there for no reason. Just don't want to be like making our life easier when it can just make our life harder. And we hit a market of people who are like really appreciative
of
not fucking with us, you know?
I love this so much. I'm so excited to try it.
Me too.
I get to try it?
I want you to try it immediately, but we're going to do another production run, and
I'll catch you on the hard launch.
Yeah,
the hard,
yeah.
Stiff launch.
I knew that you caught wants the hard one.
I want the hard
one. She doesn't want the flaccid.
Yeah, yeah. And well, and I saw on your ingredient label, you put something in there to help with the digestibility of
lactase.
Whey, don't you?
Lactase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you did that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to try it.
I think like 60% of the world is lactose mm-hmm. intolerant, and that can be built up over time, apparently. But I just didn't want to mess with that. I didn't want people writing and going, I'm lactose intolerant. A lot of people are, and kind of like opening up the market like for mm-hmm. A more digestible protein drink, so that, you know, if you try it and it does irritate you, then you can go, well, it's not the lactose. It must be something else.
Yeah.
You know, and people do have problems with dairy protein. There is like, particularly A2, it seems,
mm-hmm.
can upset people's stomachs too.
Of
which A2 is casein. So we don't have any casein in there. It's just whey.
Cool. No way.
So yeah, we added lactase, and it's also a natural sweetener. So it kind of like brings out the lactose, which is sweet, which is milk sugar. And it kind of brings it out a bit more. So you don't have to put so much sweetener on top of that.
I love that.
Essentially pre-digest the lactose for anyone who's interested. But yeah, 100% lactose free.
Amazing.
Pretty cool.
Well, just in the essence of time, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about before we end?
So somebody the other day, I was having a talk with my friend who's a bodybuilder, absolutely obsessed with health and fitness and science and stuff. And somebody posted that organic is a scam. And we were talking about it. He posted, I go, organic is a scam. I agree with most of this stuff that he was saying is a scam, but organic is a scam? I don't think organic is a scam. I think it's a necessity because of the food system that we see that we need to have an organic section. Like, it's either one of a few things. Like, there are Americans who are just bitches who are like, there should be organic, and they make demands and the food system goes fine. And then the other side of it where it's like, it's necessary because of all the shit they put on non-organic things. Mm-hmm. So scam or not scam?
Oh, it's not a scam. I will say, though, there is some nuance. So let's talk about the nuance here. So organic food is what our food used to be before we started spraying all of our food with these highly carcinogenic pesticides and herbicides and fungicides. When you go back before, I don't know the exact time period, but let's say maybe like before like the 1960s, all food was just organic.
Right.
You know? And so there is this, I think, people are attacking organic food right now because they don't want to be paying more. And there is this concept of we are essentially having to pay more money to not be poisoned by our government right now, which is infuriating.
Yep.
And then you add on too with organic. So organic is not perfect, but it's the best we have right now. Mm-hmm. Knowing how much we're spraying all of our food with this stuff, the most concerning one to me is the glyphosate piece.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will fight back and they say, okay, well, organic also uses pesticides and herbicides. That is true, but it's a much smaller list. And the herbicides and pesticides that are allowed to be sprayed on organic food are not the ones that we're the most concerned about. Mm. The ones that we're most concerned about are like things like glyphosate.
Glyphosate, yeah.
And organic is ensuring that your food is not doused in glyphosate.
Yes.
And so that to me is why it's the most important. Organic is not perfect. And there's just like there's corruption happening in big pharma and in big food and in, you know, our healthcare system. There is also corruption happening in organic. And I'm sure there's things that are getting, you know, slid under the rug and there's corruption happening there. But it's literally the best we have right now.
Yes. It's like old claims, grass-fed to upcycled, and these are sustainability claims. There's a lot of bullshit in that too.
Yeah.
Regenerative, like there's bullshit everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And there are people trying to lie to us in order to make some money. And you kind of just have to like, if you can't grow your own, you've got to go the best you can possibly do. And if you can't go fancy organic and spend more, then honestly, whole food is, you know, I wouldn't even speak to this, but meat is low in glyphosate.
Yeah.
Every kind of meat, whether it's grass-fed or not.
And you think about too, from if you're really on a budget, from a getting your best, what is that saying? Like the best buck for your...
Yeah, bang for your buck.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a total brain fart.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so getting the best bang for your buck is buying really nutritious foods and the foods that are going to last longer for you, like nutritionally speaking, and that are really going to be the most nutritious for your body. Mm-hmm. Are things like grass-fed beef, for example, or not even grass-fed. If you can only afford conventional beef, that's going to go a lot longer for you than if you're just buying like rice, for example, or rice and beans.
Right.
Because it's going to be more satiety, satiating. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to, over time, end up eating less food than if you were to just be, you know, carb loading with the beans and rice. You're going to end up eating more food.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad we talked about this. It's not a scam.
So nutrition bang for
your buck. Kevin, my friend, who I had the argument with, not a scam. You heard it here.
Not a scam.
Good. I win the argument, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, call me. Let's have a chat. I would love to. All right. So I want to ask you a personal question that I ask all my guests at the end. Yep. I'm very curious to hear what yours is.
Yep.
What are your health non-negotiables? These are things that no matter how crazy your day is, these are things that you prioritize for your own health.
Well, when it really comes down to it, I will fight to try and eat enough protein and exercise. But we're also talking about a really crazy day. On a really crazy day, I have to be having fun. I have to integrate fun into the day or I do go insane. I could forego exercise and all the protein if I'm having fun. And so if I'm having a crazy day, as long as we're like playful and having fun with each other, That beats everything. I think it trumps everything is having fun and surrounding my life with fun people. Like, are you fun? Cool. If you're not fun, you are not welcome here. Like, honestly,
you can't sit with us.
You just can't sit with us. Like, if you're just going to be like offended all the time or get pissy about this and that, you're not welcome. But if you're here to have fun and you can find the fun and the funny in everything, then we're going to have a great time.
I love that so much. What a way to end this episode too. Cause yeah. I'm the same way. I feel, we take things too seriously sometimes, and you got to be able to interject that playfulness, and you do a great job of this on your Instagram, by
thank
the way.
You.
Yeah. You bring a lot of fun to a lot of people's lives, I think, which is really cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I try to do that. Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job at it.
Thank you.
So please let everyone know where they can find you and also where they can find Shakewell.
Yeah. Great.
With that hard launch.
You can find me at the Luke Cook on TikTok and Instagram, and you can find Shakewell at getshakewell.com. Subscribe for like up to 35% off. This should just be on the top of my head, but it's not. Sales, up to 35% off. Yeah, try it.
I'm excited to try it. Thanks so much, Luke.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Real Foodology Podcast. If you liked the episode, please leave a review in your podcast app to let me know. This is a Resonant Media production produced by Drake Peterson and edited by Mike Fry. The theme song is called Heaven by the amazing singer Georgie. Georgie is spelled with a J. For more amazing podcasts produced by my team, go to resonantmediagroup.com. I love you guys so much. See you next week. The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for individual medical and mental health advice and doesn't constitute a provider-patient relationship. I am a nutritionist, but I am not your nutritionist. As always, talk to your doctor or your health team first.